Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome again on this Tuesday night. Yes, it is September the 26th. Month is almost gone. 2023. We're grateful for each and every one of you that will join us tonight, will follow us on our live stream on Facebook, will follow us via the blogtalkradio.com platform. Either way, you're welcome. Give us a call here tonight, sharing this dialogue. We do have a monologue of some importance. 563-999-3617. That number to call into studio live tonight, again, is 563-999-3617. You can reach us here and join this dialogue. Our topic tonight is what makes you free? We want to explore that and hopefully offer some answers. To be free is to exist without any restraint or control from anything or any person. In 2023, and it's on its way out of here, too many Americans, people, tend to offer an explanation as to why they lack success in America by saying that they're not free to do so. Somebody is binding them or bound them in some kind of way. Somehow, they conflate concept of freedom with someone else giving you something or caring for you in society. If you rely on someone else for what you need, then indeed you're not free. You're beholden to them doing for you, right? The very nature of freedom is to be able to display and exhibit self-reliance and determination. Join me tonight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, right here on Talk Straight. As we explore that, we discuss, demonstrate how individuals can use personal responsibility to secure and maintain their freedom, no matter what's going on around this country we call America, our home. All right? We got three questions that we want to answer. One is, how does an individual become and remain free in America? We know that there's historical context to this discussion, right? Second question is, what makes one free? When do you become free? And then lastly, at what point, can or does one loses their freedom in America? Is it possible for you to be free 1 minute and fool around and lose your freedom? Let's talk about it. Again, the number to call here is 563-99-3617. Get through this monologue right quick, and we'll go straight to the phone lines. Hopefully you can join us tonight. Otherwise, we're going to just lecture here. But I hope we can have a dialogue. Maybe you differ from what I'm saying. As always, I like to rely on Scripture to be a guide for me, so y'all bear with me as I do that tonight. John, the 8th chapter, we're going to focus for our attention here on verses 32 through 36. Let's see what it says about freedom. What makes you free in America? That's our topic. That's the question we want to try to answer. The Bible says, John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Say that, but I got to move on. Verse 33 says, "And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Verse 34 says, "Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant," my God, "of sin." 35 says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son, therefore, you free, you are free indeed." I think there's a misconception about really being bound and what you're bound by. In this particular instance, in this text, as we look at it, some individuals that Christ was talking to thought that because they were born with certain privileges, perhaps certain material values and certain family names, that made them free. But he let them know that they don't make you free. It's sin. It's the act of being out of order, disobedient to the creator of the universe that gets you caught up. I want to tell you something, friend. I don't care where you are in this world. You can get caught up by being out of order. There is something divine about being orderly and responsible for your actions. We're going to get into it. We're going to get into it. Let's look at the Declaration of Independence. And bear with me. I'm going to read a few paragraphs of it, not a whole lot. Then we're going to look at what the United Nations says. We just had the President Biden was at the United Nations last week, I believe it was, and he was talking, and they were there and so forth and so on. Then we're going to look at what the U.S. Constitution enumerates, what it says. Not going to be detail. We're going to look at your state constitution typically, right? And then we'll think about what your city charter and your municipal charter, your county government says. Things control you. Could any of those control you? Let's look at it. Let's start it here. Listen to what, and incidentally, the vast majority of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence, I believe it was like 52 or so of them, and at least 25 of them were under the age of 45 and under, fairly young. Today we would call most of them millennials. But they were pushing for something. Back in 1787, back in 1776 through 1787, young cats, okay? Listen to what the Declaration starts on. Thomas Jefferson is said to be the author of this, and he was about 33 when he signed the Constitution. "It becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands, which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impelled them to the separation. Then he goes on to say these words that may be familiar to you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain and unalienable rights, proper way to pronounce that, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, watch this, y'all. Governments are established or instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent. Now listen to what he says. For one, he's saying that the people that come together and agree to be governed by a set of principles, the ideas, have the power and institute that government. But watch what he says. What happens if the government goes rogue? Do they have absolute control and authority over you? Watch what he says. Then young Jefferson says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to those ends that were established by the men, it is the right of the people to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. In other words, beloved, your freedom lies within your will to be in control. And it requires you to get along with other folks and you to establish a common idea, common rules amongst your neighbors. Are you with me? The question is, how do you become free in America? It begins with you. All right? Walk away from that. Look at what the United Nations Constitution says. This is the Charter of the United Nations, also known as the UN Charter, established in 1945. It's the foundational treaty of all of the nations and intergovernmental organizations that came together after World War II ended in 1945, right? At the time, it was ratified by such nations as China, France, the Soviet Union as it existed then. That's changed a lot now. The United Kingdom and the United States by a majority of the signatories from those states. That's changed a lot here in 2023. In fact, China and Russia now seem to be pulling away from agreement with most of them. Okay? Particularly that old Soviet Union is not the same as it is today. But this is what's supposed to govern all of these major nations around the world. The key is they all have to agree to be together. Ain't nothing going to make them be together but themselves. And yet again, the individual right to choose. In America, believe it or not, you do have that right. So let's talk about the U.S. Constitution. What does it do? The Constitution of the United States was established, America's national government, and it is the fundamental law, right? And guarantees certain basic rights, not civil rights, human rights, for all of its citizens. Not civil rights, human rights. It was signed on September 17th, 1787. And remember I told you who was there? A lot of young dudes. Many of them hadn't even made 30 yet. Some of them were just in their 30s. Some of them not 50. You had some older guys, too. But most of them, a good portion of them, were young guys fighting for independence. And I want to talk to these young cats today, right now, who say that they ain't free. Somebody stopping them from taking advantage of resources and opportunities in America. I would respectfully suggest to you that perhaps it's not anyone stopping you. You may not know where they are, how to access them, and how to take advantage of them. That's where we come in. We can help you with that. The knowledge is power. So the more you know, the more you can do, right? All right? So that's U.S. Constitution. Your state constitution is more respective of the state in which you have citizenship as an American citizen. That's established in the state that you reside, those political boundaries. And each state, we have 50 right now. Each one of them arguably represents a social experiment, just like the United States of America itself represents a certain social experiment, right? And guess what? But the matter is, you got a right to be free. You got a right to be happy. In a minute, I'm going to talk about what the OJ said back in the 70s. It suggests in their song that, and I digress just for a second, that if you got the right kind of money, you know the right people, you can live above the law. Wait, doctor, hold on. Now, you just said that the law was supposed to be fair, and it was according to the will of the unified. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. I'm going to give you a chance to talk to me about it. I'm going to give you a chance to talk to me about it. That state constitution and then that city charter or municipal charter governs on a smaller level your city or your municipality, right? Then how then can we make sure that despite all these written things, these laws, these codified rules, guess what they all have in common? Men have to agree on them. If you don't agree that they're working in your best interest, as you said earlier in the Declaration of Independence, you got a right to change it. Don't fit, it must have quit. That's what Johnny Carson said, the late Johnny Carson. I want to leave three things of consideration with you right quickly, right, in terms of steps to ensure that you're free. Watch this. And you may not agree with me, so call me. Let me know. 563-999-3617. Three things, beloved. If you learn the expectations of the government under which you are in a social contract with, for your city, your state, your society, right, that makes you a citizen, it's supposed to protect certain things, certain human rights, not civil rights, human rights. Two, establish yourself a personal constitution. In other words, make your own laws about how you'll govern yourself when you interact and do bounds with other men, wherever you are. And make sure that that aligns itself with natural processes and the nature of the law of the land in which you live and inhabit. Then lastly, make sure you live according to that. Govern yourself accordingly. Govern yourself accordingly. And you shouldn't have no problem. Oh, somebody going to say, no, it ain't right. It ain't right. Okay, listen to what the OJ said. They suggested what I hear a lot of good brothers and sisters saying today, that it comes down to how much money you got. Watch what the OJ said right quickly. And we're going to the phone lines. I got my co-host in here with me, Pastor Waller. The number to call here now is 563-999-3617. Listen to what the OJ said. Martin did what he could, but evil exists among people, Pastor. And that made it, Matt messed it up. Talk to me about that, big boy. Welcome to Talk Straight, sir. How you doing tonight? How you feeling tonight?
Amen. I'm all right. I'm all right, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
Correct me now, because, see, I got this utopian idea, Pastor, that everything going to be cool as long as we all follow along. Where am I going wrong, man? Where am I going wrong, Pastor? You and the OJs keep on saying, no, it ain't that simple, Doctor. Talk to me. Talk to me.
Yeah, I've been familiar with it for a while, man, and, you know, and I know about that. And it just seemed like that. It seemed like it's equal, and it seemed like it's fair.
Mm-hmm,
but as long as it's in your favor, you know, you love the law. And that's what's making some people's lives are living hell, you know, because others are living above the law. And that's the thing. And when you live above the law, it means you think automatically that you got the advantage over the people. And that's just what it's designed to do, you know. Yeah. That's just the nature of it.
Argue, brother preacher. And I'm talking from the topic of what makes you free. I mean, showing up free in America. I would argue that it is a game, okay? This legal system that we have is a game. And the more you understand the game, the better. I want to, some words that young Thomas Jefferson, this cat was only 30-some years old, Pastor. Little scutterbug, you know what I mean? Probably 2 feet from the ground. Wrote some powerful words. So watch what he said, though. He says that we hold certain truth to be self-evident, that you're created equal, endowed by your creator with certain rights. Now, right there, big brother, tells me that it's not the government that controls me, but it's me controlling myself and due bounds with everybody else that keep me free. You see what I mean? Now, here's the game. Game. It's an economic game, ain't it? It's about money, ain't it? You really want to make it in America, you got to have some money. How do you go about getting that money? If you really want to have a good social life, it's about acquiring resources or property so that you can house certain values and certain resources and be able to go and come. How do you come about getting that, right? Some would argue, I've said this, I've been guilty, education is a key, right? But we realize that that don't always mean nothing for everybody, does it? Let's tell the truth tonight, now. We talking straight. Is that true, Brother Preacher? That don't, just because you got education don't mean automatically going straight. Is that right?
No, that's zero. I mean, that's something that doesn't have any power according to those who are living above the law. And I go back there for a purpose, because remember, it says as long as it's working in your favor, not because you're smart or educated, it's just because you got some things that you know would make you have the advantage over others. And that's the sad part about, you know, what said, that's why talk is so cheap. You know, you can say, hey, we want equal rights for everyone. That sounds good.
Sounds good, though.
But what about action-wise? And then if you put it in action, then it would make the world a better place, I'm sure. I won't have any doubt at that point. But right now, someone is having a tough time because they cannot even gather thoughts together, because what has been placed in the system that causes them not to even know who they are. And you know, when you say that everyone should be able to do certain things, well, quite natural. But if something is in your way and it's heavy and it weighs more than you do, it's going to be hard to remove it. And that's the weight of the world. It's like it's on the shoulders of people who are not above the law. We can say people that are up under the law. And that's a sad case, you know, for many.
Right. Now, I put questions out there, and you just said something. The first question is, how does an individual become and remain free in America? I would argue that John 8:32-36 says that when you know the truth, when you have information and you have truth about reality and everything and everybody, that's the beginning of your freedom right there. You're born with that, with the ability to learn, acquire that truth. Then the 36th chapter says, if the Son therefore make you free, you're free indeed. So first, Pastor, you've got to tell yourself I'm free. I don't care what no joker think about you, no greasy bubble-eyed rascal says about you. You tell yourself I'm free. Huh?
That's the sad part about it, though. You know, it's not so much of what others think of you, is that you don't have knowledge of the power that's, of what's weighing on you. And that makes a person have the advantage over you, see. And the only way that can take place, there have to be some certain type of moves made in order to be above the law. You can't be above the law unless you're doing things that would cause you to be above the law.
Okay.
Or to make you think you have privilege, you know. And that's just, you know, it's been going on for a little while now. And it goes back to the sad part about it. It's like, do I have to have the advantage over you, you know, to say that now I can rest comfortably because you'll never catch up with me because I have the advantage over you. I'm going to give you a good example. And,
right.
You know, it's like me telling somebody to throw a basketball up 30 feet in the air and catch it on their finger. And I know I'm the only one I've ever seen do it. You know, that wouldn't be fair. You know,
That's right. Okay. So, and I want to say this because you and I lived in a time in America where things hadn't always been straight and hadn't always been easy, but you had to learn how to work yourself through the system, right? Yeah. And some brothers lose their freedom by being caught up in the game on the streets and what have you and in society, and they go to jail if they don't get killed. See what I mean? Now, my question is, what is it that you can do to avoid that? See? Because enemy wants to see you bound. You know this. Either by the use of controlled substances, out of ignorance, alcohol, gambling, sex, all kind of things that keep you locked up in your mind and unfree, right? And what has happened that many people have tried to do for themselves and create an opportunity, but certain laws have criminalized their hustle. I'm going to say that again. There are a lot of people who come up with some pretty good hustles, but states have come up with laws that have criminalized your hustle. If you don't meet, and you don't understand what the state laws say, right? All you're trying to do is make a way for yourself. One would argue that the man hustle ought to be able to eat from it, right? Is that right, Pastor? I mean, you know,
that's
what
it is.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's exactly what it is, man. It just still has to do with, you know, everything that was brought forth in dialogue earlier, and then you played the song. And if there's some truth in it, then that means that it was done intentionally. But now if it is a lie, then that song doesn't fit because everybody is on an equal playing field.
Check the playing field out
and see if it's all equal. Yeah, that's how we have to sum it up.
Now, I learned early growing up in the housing projects of Chicago that you can look at the billboards on buses, on the little signs on the street and what have you, look at the TV, and it seemed like some people had a better life than I did. Made me wonder, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have that? Is that the American dream? I said to myself, what I got to do to get that? What I got to do to have that? It hadn't been easy because some people want you to be a slave, want you to be beholden to them, eating out of their hand, dependent on them. And one thing I won't do, I refuse to do, is to let the government dictate anything for me, right? Huh? Now, I understand the nature of the government. We agree that the government will be there for us and it will serve certain basic needs. But I just refuse to let the government tell me what I got to do and when I can't do it. Now, if I do it, it'll be on my own recognizance because somebody made me. Is that boastful, Pastor?
Hold that thought right there, Pastor Doctor. Just hold on just for a second because I need to say something about that. Continue to talk for just about two minutes.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. And so
okay, hold on.
He'll be right back with us. He'll be right back with us. But I was just saying that as an individual, I don't believe the government should. It's my government. It exists because of me. It shouldn't tell me what to do. I should tell it what to do. But if I don't, the people that I voted for and I sent up there to represent my interests, if I'm not keeping up with them and watching them, I don't know what they're doing. And they could be pulling a fast eddy on me, one that'll keep me in traps and depending on them. At no point should you ever find yourself where you don't have a reasonable knowledge of what's going on in the government that you sign a social contract with. We pay taxes, right? We follow those rules that are laid down, okay? I'm with that. But that government should never overstep its bounds, should never treat you like it owns you. That dog will not hunt. In fact, I think it was Dwight Eisenhower said something to that effect, that it's the people that power to control the government. The word democracy comes from a compound word, demokratos, which has to do with people power. Demos, people, and those is power. It's the people, not the. You're back, Professor?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, all right. So the second question that was posed is, what makes you free? You make you free. Huh?
That says a lot, you know, because when you talk about freedom, you know, a person should be able to believe that they're free and to know that they're free and to carry themselves as if they're free.
As if they're free.
But how
That's
can
right.
you be free? But how can you be free when you're
that's
in bondage? That's a tough thing to make you have the imagination of being free or what it's like to be free. But until a person is free, as the scripture says, you have to get with the truth.
Mm.
And that's the only way a person can get
free. I don't mean to talk over you, but you say it. How can you be free if you're in bondage? The two don't mix, does it?
No, you have to be free. You have to have the truth to get free, because I know what it's like to be in bondage, and I didn't have the truth, so I couldn't be free. But once I got connected with the truth, then that's when freedom came.
Right. Okay. So along these lines of thought here in America, yes, beloved, I know that America has a history. In that history, people of Afro descent have historically been oppressed, held back, and in fact, there was a law that made it illegal for a Caucasian or white man to teach you how to read if you were a Negro. They would hang him.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? I understand that. I get that. We were brought here, most of us were brought here in the context of slavery. But I'm telling you now, in 2020, that's over with. I hate to see somebody try to put something on me, put any kind of change on me. They're going to have a problem, Pastor Wallace. I'm going to have a problem, and they're going to have a problem. Bernie Mac says some furniture is going to be moving around here.
It's going to be a problem. Huh?
It's going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
Because I ain't going to do it. I understand and respect the social contract of the law and the government, right? And as long as I'm following that, you ain't about to talk crazy to me. And you ain't about to put your hands on me either. Because things in the Constitution The Bill of Rights is the Second Amendment, which empowers me to get you above me with something. And the people, mm-hmm. get the government, feel it's gone rogue. You feel like the government's gone rogue, the people can organize and get the government up above them and abolish it and start over new. People can do that. That's what's in your Bill of Rights. That's it, from 1776 to 1787, about, what, 13 years? Took them a long time. Why it take so long? Because they were arguing about how this social contract going to look. They had the Federalists mm-hmm. first, a system of federation that, no, that dog ain't going to hunt because it gives the government too much power. Alexander Hamilton favored that because it allowed the federal government to dictate. He said, no, that dog ain't going to hunt. That's taking too much voice from the people. If this is about the people's mm-hmm. power, it will not have the federal government have so much power. And they finally, with Madison and with Hamilton and Jefferson, they finally battled it out. They went in the back room fast. They duked it out. They duked it out. And they came up with the Constitution where they said, we're going to put 10 amendments in there. 10 amendments of what we started out with. And one of them says you can say what you want to say when you get ready. You can believe what you want to believe. And watch this. Watch this. You can protect yourself with a weapon, with a gun. Second Amendment. Provides you that right to bear mm-hmm. arms. There are others that go.
But is that what? Is that going on? Are those three things going on with the people that you're talking about?
It don't look like it. Because some folks. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I just was thinking about, you know, when you name a certain group of people, you know, is it made for those people that you're talking about? Or, you know, who does it fit? Does it go back to the, you know, above the law?
Uh-oh.
Is it for everybody?
Now, listen to this.
For everybody, then.
Excuse me for laughing. Pastor, if these words are true, then what you're saying is right. It's for everybody. We hold the truth. Then we said, if you know the truth, then we say that.
Yeah.
Then we say that.
Yes,
they
right.
Said, we hold the truth to be self-evident. That, watch this, not some men, not just white men or German men or Greek men, not black men, not Asian, but all men.
So it says that, correct?
That's the lie they told.
And
it's on paper. They got it on paper, man.
So you're saying that that's not the truth, then? You know, so,
well, no, I,
but
no,
it sounds pretty good.
I'm not saying. look, I'm not saying it's not the truth, but I'm saying it's challenge. There's a challenge to it. You understand? Depending on who you're talking to, and how they feel, and where they're coming from, they will say that ain't true for me, man. I refuse. I'm just speaking for myself personally. I refuse to let any government thing or anybody else. That's why I always say, I don't care what the president, what the governor, the mayor, or anybody else think. I'm going to make a decision for myself, man. If I do it, it's going to be because I choose to. Not because somebody made me do it.
Yeah.
No,
that's good. Well, that's what's going on. Some people are being made to do things. Some people are being made to do things. Yeah, they are.
Well, now, there have been a couple of times where I've went and sought assistance and from different levels of, it wasn't government, it was, you know, in business. And the response I got, Pastor, was if you basically commit yourself to a certain philosophy and idea, we'll do business with you. No, that's okay. Fine, then. Y'all keep on stepping. Because I'll never lose my right to independence and the ability to maintain individual thought just so I can get along. We don't have to get along then. You keep moving. You do your thing, I'm going to do mine. See what I'm saying? And I'll find individuals that align themselves with that like thought. And that's how people control you, Pastor, when they get you where you agree to allow them to define your limits, what you can and can't do. I'm here to tell you that, yes, we have a constitution. Yes, we have a state law. Yes, we have a city charter. But when you understand the nature of those things, you're free, basically, as a citizen, to be you. It's a contract agreement. If you find something in there that is antithetical or arbitrary to your best interest, you got a right to speak up and say, this ain't right. It needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, my brother, there's some things around that need to change. But right now in our great state, Pastor, there's a huge surplus. The last I understood is somewhere about $6 billion or something, right? And I want to know why that hadn't got to the hood, to the brothers, with all this gentrification going on. Where my money at?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay taxes.
Yeah.
We done work. We done sweat. How much would you spend to live above the law, man? Now, come on now, the law is right. It's good before all of us now. Talk to me, baby.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, it all go back to being rooted and grounded in the power of equal rights. If it's grounded that way,
uh-huh.
If it's steadfast that way, the world will be a better, much better place, man. But do they want it, who call themselves rulers of the world, do they want it to be a better place? You know, is it selfishness? Is it fear of, you know, showing that to be equal is not a bad thing? Is it, what could it be? Have they gone to the table and said, the reason why we cannot afford to share equal rights with you is because we fear that you're going to not forget where you came from. And, you know, just whatever, just put it on the table and talk about it a little bit. See what happens. You never know. You may find compassion flowing. You know, it's something about wrongdoing. When you know you've been wrong, you know you've been wrong, and you know you've been wrong, and you're increasing being wrong, and all you know is being wrong. So even though, you know, you just, innocent as you can be, but you have been placed, you've been wrong just because of who you are. That's a dirty way to live. And what other way can you go about it other than to say, I wonder what they're going to do to me now? No, man, that's not a beautiful way to live. But the person who has wronged you, people who will continue to wrong you, are the ones who are above the law. And if they could come down off them high horses and just take a moment and consider themselves being under the law versus above the law, and just to get a taste of how they feel, and, you know, mistreating people, you know, and now they got some things where you can have cell phones, you can see because you're filming, and why you have to go around filming people to protect yourself and say, see that, you bleed me now? Look what just happened. But if I didn't film it, I wouldn't have a chance. That's above the law, brother. And if that's what's going on, if that's what I need a cell phone for, I shouldn't have to have no cell phone to try to, you know, when I stop by the police, I got to wonder if they're going to treat me fairly or things like that. That's a dirty way to live, man. You know, it's a dirty way to live, and it's a sad way to treat someone, you know, who's actually of no wrongdoing, you know, just not trusting. And then you got the, you know, you got the people who know this. Hey, man, I mean, that's just the way it is. And it's sort of been like that, and it's hard to break that. It's like having an addiction. I'll turn this over to you as I say this. It's like having an addiction, which I've had before.
Okay.
And I just couldn't break free from it. Because
okay.
I didn't have the necessary help. And when I got the help, I understood that, man, it was hope. I was able to break free from it. But without help, you know, they're addicted to mistreating people. You know, they're addicted to saying, I'm better than you are. I'm addicted to saying, I'm the one calling the shots. Man, that's tough, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
So I'm going on that song that I heard you play earlier. I guess that's where I'm at. I keep hearing the power. Of that, as long as it's in your favor, you know you love the law. You know, it's making other people's lives a living hell. And that's the thing that I'm saying. Those are the ones that are under the law that's being mistreated, misused, abused, and treated as if they're nothing. And people may say it's not happening, but why do you have to say and look at the film? And of course, sometimes, you know, the film show otherwise, and that's the thing. But for the most part, you didn't have a chance, period.
Mm-hmm.
When it's above the law, yeah, you don't have a chance, period. What you say don't mean nothing.
Okay.
You know, and that's what's going on. But yes, you know, people should be free. It should be equal rights. It should be a love that's so strong. You know, life is too short and precious to be around here to walk in fear every day, not knowing what's going to happen to you, man. That's not a good way to live, man.
For sure. Okay. Yes, sir. Let me say these two things. The question, the third question was, at what point, first of all, the answer to the second question, and that is, first and foremost, above anything, God makes you free. Okay. Then second to that, as related to the legal status of citizens, understanding of the law and what the social contract is, that gives you your freedom. And it gives you even the freedom to change laws if they're not just. And that's what Brother Kingdom tried to do. Brother Malcolm challenged it and took it to the United Nations, right, and tried to get them to do the right thing. They died before they can see that happen. But nonetheless, there you go. Now, the third question is, at what point can or does one lose their freedom? And this is where a lot of good brothers get caught right here, Pastor. Told you about those first 10 amendments.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the third. Hold on one. We got a call here. I'm sorry. Welcome to the conversation. And 6606, are you with me? Last four digits
I'm
of
having
phone
problem.
Number.
Yeah, I'm having problems with my earbuds. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you? Welcome to the conversation. Let me stop and give you an opportunity to question or comment, and then we can go. You're on with Pastor Waller here, our co-host for Talk Straight. And I'm Reuben Dockery, the host.
Well, how are you guys doing?
We're doing
all
okay,
right,
man.
Good. Because I took a look at the description page, and you're talking about freedom. And I wanted to know exactly what, a person's perception of freedom was. The first sentence in your description page was saying that, you know, somebody who, to be free is to exist without any restraint or control from anything or person. Is that to be taken literally?
I wrote that. I'm the host of the show, and that's the context of the discussion. My intention was to intimate that thought that when you are free, you indeed are without restraint or control other than your own self-control. And that's what I've been saying. In my monologue, I pointed out that when you're in control of yourself, right, and your actions, interactions in an environment, that keeps you from having to be bound by it. Now, if somebody else put their hands on you, got a right to defend yourself. Let me say that. Let me put that in there now. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I hope I answered the question.
Because that's where I was going, because there are people who believe that, we're all free, and to be free means you can do anything you want. You know?
No, wrong answer.
But if I'm in...
Wrong
answer. Yeah, right. Because if I'm in my bed and then I see somebody coming in through the window, and he says, "Well, I've got the freedom to do whatever I want, and I want what you've got. You know, everybody has to have some sort of some sort of constraint or control over them, because everybody has rights. But see, my rights stop at the fence. It's like your rights stop at the fence. So I just wanted to know where you were going with that. That's about it.
Yeah, no, that's, I appreciate that. I mean, in reality, the issue is what I was saying to my co-host here. We were just talking about it, how you have a you have the laws, the constitution, your state constitution, your city ordinances, and so forth. It's a social contract, right? And what young Thomas Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence is that we give the government its power, we give it its control, but it's by our consent. The flip side of that is we have a responsibility to follow the things that we gave the government consent to lay down for the sake of peace and harmony. What I did read was the preamble to the Constitution, and it basically laid out what its purpose and aim was. One of them was to keep peace and harmony among men, you know? So, but yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that comment. Pastor, would you like to respond to that?
Well, I was just listening to what does it take for a person coming through your window. I mean, you defend yourself. I mean, this is like, you know, this is your refuge. I mean, it's not like, okay, come on in and get what you want and leave. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Freedom is, you know, the scripture says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what you said earlier, okay? Then you played a song that was talking about above the law.
Mm-hmm.
Above the law means have the advantage over you.
Okay.
And if it's all equal rights, if it's grounded, rooted in the power of freedom from the start, then you have to reason with one another. You know, you don't have to worry about it, but get stopped by the police.
Right.
I shouldn't have to worry about I'm getting ready to be harmed just for a couple of my light is out to know it. And I'm fearful because I don't know what to expect. I mean, that should even come across my mind. It should be like, I know I haven't done anything, but by the time the officer gets to the car, I should be at peace. And I find out that it was reasonable, and it was equal rights. That's the thing. You weren't stopping me because you were trying to do me harm, so I couldn't have those thoughts. So let me explain something to you. If you are not free, and someone gets stopped like that, and they have had those thoughts before, they've seen things happen, that's what it's talking about. Someone breaking your house, I mean, take care of your business.
Well, I think this is what it's all about. There are many people who would argue that even though I'm mad at society for me feeling like I'm bound, I'm going to take it out even on my neighbor, basically, and I'm going to get it the way I live. That means if I rob, steal, and kill, I'm going to get it so I can be satisfied. Now, can't nobody live in peace and harmony like that. That's a problem for everybody. You see what I mean? And I would say to those individuals who feel as though they have to do that, you don't have to. Now, how did you find out the facts, the knowledge, the truth about how you can take advantage of resource and opportunity where you are? That's another conversation. We assume you're going to get that information at home, in school, and in great society, but doubt it for too many. That's not the case. What do you say about
that?
What do you say about that, 66?
About the fact that people aren't free. In what particular aspect and context are you talking about? These mindsets that these people have. What is it that they believe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, particularly I was speaking about those individuals who make the argument that I have to take from someone else. I have to be violent and steal, and they ain't going to just let me take it, so I'm going to bring a weapon so I can make sure I overcome them with force and get what I need. Because I got a poor education, right? And I don't have what everyone else has, so this is my way of living. And that's what I was asking. I was saying, no, that creates a problem in society, and it makes it hard for anybody to get along. I was asking, what's your thought on that?
Well, there are people who do believe that, as you've just mentioned. Well, if the person says, I don't have an education, then you've got to sacrifice to get the education. Just because other people have more than what another person has doesn't mean that, you know, you can go and take it simply because they have more. In order to make it in this life, you have to make sacrifices. plain and simple, mm-hmm. regardless of whether you're white, black, or Asian, okay?
Sure.
White people don't have it that easy. Black people don't have it easy. Asians don't have it easy. Everybody mm-hmm. has to sacrifice in order to get what they want. So that some people, they have to sacrifice by, my aunt, for example, was 50 some odd years old when she went back to college. She was my inspiration.
Wow. Is that
I
right?
went back and
wow.
she did it, and she did it full time. She was working wow. full time and she went to college full time. She was working and going to college 60 to 70 hours a week. And she
get
became the president of the National Honor Society inside her college. She was my inspiration. Yeah. So I'm
wow.
figuring if this old woman can do it, you better believe I'm going to do it. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I went back to college. And luckily I had enough money to, I didn't have to work and go to college at the same time because I had a little bit saved up. So I went to college, got my degree, but I learned also, okay, that when you go to college late and you graduate not at the age of 21, but at the age of around 28 or so, you have to compete with all the young studs out there, the young Turks, for that job, which means you're not going to get that job.
That's interesting.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
So then you have to pursue another avenue.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're making a great point. And there are a lot of people who are late starters, right? In fact, one of the reasons a lot of colleges and universities now are having these online programs and special accelerated programs is for people that's been out there in the workforce and they just learned from life and they want to give them credit for that, credit for their job experience and occupational background and so forth. But I was saying that to say that one thing, even if you got a felony record, there's nothing from stopping you from finding some skill set that you have and capitalizing off of it. Place yourself in a position where what you have is in demand. That's okay. What you have is in demand, and people need. There's a legal path for you to supply something that is in demand, and you don't have to do it under the guise of illegality. You can do it within the law. You may have to find out how to. But go ahead.
No, you're right. I cut you off. I think I know where you're going with that. I was going to agree with you. Is that you're right? But it also takes sacrifice because the same people who don't have the degree, don't have the education, and they see that they need money now to pay their rent. What are they going to do? I understand.
Right.
I can empathize with them. But if they can get enough money to pay their rent for 6 months or so, they're going to have to sacrifice. And as you say, they're going to have to find something which society wants and offer it to them. In other words, start a business. But then again, what comes into the mind of that person is, I don't have enough money to start the business. I don't know what to do. I never started a business before. They're not going to give me enough credit. I got a rent to pay. And, nobody's going to accept a person who doesn't have any education and yada, yada. And they have good points. That's where the sacrifice comes in.
If a person
can put aside 6 months of their time, either go around from bank to bank to bank to bank to bank to try to find somebody, persuade them to give you money for a job, or go on the Internet. When I was growing up, I didn't have the Internet. I had to go to the library. One time when I was in college, I made a mistake in my resume. I didn't even have a typewriter. I had to put on my clothes, and I had to go back to school just to correct my resume. Now I've got, you talk about there are stories of your grandfather saying, I had to walk 6 miles through the snow just to get to the first grade and stuff like that. Well, this particular, I had to get on the train to go back to school just to fix that typo in my resume. Now, of course, I've got six computers. I'm computer literate. The Internet is there. It's amazing to me. But the thing is, you've got to sacrifice. You've got to make and you have to try to find that particular item that people want. I've seen people out here start up their vending. Call them ropes coaches, to sell food.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And go from there. If you have a dream deferred, it is only deferred. Pursue it. If you can't get it in the time frame that you want, get it to 2 or 3 years later.
Right.
It takes
right.
sacrifice. And
yes,
people
sir.
Don't want to make the sacrifices.
May I add this to what you're saying? And sometimes we have a misnomer about what failure is. You only fail when you give up on yourself and you quit. Yeah, you fail.
Mm-hmm.
But you're moving toward a goal, an endeavor. You get knocked down, right? You get set back. You got a choice. Either stay down or get back up. When you decide, it's over, I'm done, I'm out of the race, I quit. The race, your race is ended then because you stopped it. But you can get back up. And what you're saying is it may be a sacrifice. You may be aching when you get back up. But get on back up and press on to the end and see what it's going to be. You don't know if you don't get out there and get back with it. You learn every time you have a setback, you learn from it. Or you should be able to learn from it. And you get better and better with time. So I appreciate that. That's a great point. And callers, we're going to go a little bit further than our hour tonight, but we're speaking from the topic, what makes you free in America? What makes you free in America? And if I might, y'all bear with me just for a second, but in case someone is just listening, 563-999-3617. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to jump in here. I would say, from the position of the host, what makes an individual free is first knowledge that you are free and then acting on that knowledge. Now, I appreciate what my caller here from 660, caller from 6606. It looks like you're calling from the California area. Is that right, caller?
Yeah, that's my area code that I'm calling from.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. We don't necessarily have to identify your name. We just want to give people some context where we're calling.
No, my name's Joe.
All right,
Joe is good. Yes, 6606 is good, too, but Joe's good.
All right, Joe. The point is that there may be, it may not be easy for you. You know, I don't have any problem with telling people I thank God for my education experience now, but it hadn't always been easy. I grew up in abject poverty in the housing projects of Chicago. Many times we could, in fact, a police officer told me at 14, Pastor Wild, that I was going to be dead before my 16th birthday. I'm still looking for him now to let him know you are alive. Because I was determined.
Yeah, right.
What he didn't know is he was expressing, he kind of peed me off a little bit, and I had to prove him wrong. I thank God. Now, unfortunately, that prophecy has come true for far too many young men. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now there are things that we can do to turn that around. What I'm hearing from Joe here, and Pastor Wallen has written two books, Joe, to talk about his thing. What I'm hearing from you and his story, and even myself and others, is that yes, things have been bad. Yes, there have been setbacks, but let's take that information and treat it like a lemon. Go get us some clean water and a little sugar or maybe agave syrup, and make us some lemonade, man. Then we get cold ice. You read it in, ain't you, Joe?
Well, yeah. I mean, that particular adage has been around for a long, long time. The thing is that, when you're talking to somebody, of course, as somebody who had been in your position at the age of 14 and even older, nobody wants to hear those adages, but
you're right.
It is about information. It is about believing. It's about believing you can get there eventually. Now, how do you instill that in somebody? Now, the thing is that there are a lot of people in America, and I just left the show because they were talking about racism again. And they would eventually get around to, you know, how racism is keeping everybody down. And to a degree, they're absolutely right. Blue Jim Crow laws, et cetera. But if a person perseveres, you're right also. If you're down, when you get up, you're bloody and you're tattered. You are bloodied and you're tattered, and it takes some resolve to keep on going. Freedom doesn't mean that you're not going to get bloody. Freedom means that if you continue, you will, hopefully anyway, get there. You may not like it when you get there. That's another subject, but
you can get there.
How did you get there? Yeah. So the thing is that people just they have to realize the sacrifice is going to be painful, but people don't want to put up the pain, and you can't blame them. There are motivational speakers out here who seem to make it so easy, but it's not that easy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not good.
That's
not good.
No.
No.
You may have to
sacrifice.
No, it sounds it sounds good. You know, you can make it, you know, if you try, you know, you can, but people don't want to put aside 4 to 5 years of their life. But then again, you know, you have to say, unless you die, those 4 or 5 years are going to pass. Where are you going to be 4 or 5 years from now if you're not reaching for that goal 4 or 5 years from now? When that 5 years passes and you're still in the same place you were before, what have you done?
Right. And listen, Joe, when we make that point to people, the idea is not to bash them, but to shake them into reality. What Frederick Douglass was quoted as saying is, I didn't know I was a slave until I was told I can do what I wanted. See? And this whole idea that I'm waiting on someone else to define and to determine what I'm capable of, when I can do it, how I can do it, and make it easy for me, that's a slave mentality, I would argue. You see? And if you accept that for yourself, you put yourself there. But if you tell yourself, I am self-determined, and I'm driven to go beyond what you tell me I can have. Who are you to tell me what I can and can't have when the Almighty God made me free and free indeed? Ain't no way in the world I'm sitting there and let you tell me I can't have. What you mean? If everybody else got it, they got it some kind of way, didn't they, Pastor Wallace? How did you do it? Now, if you don't want to tell me that, don't go and get out of my way, because there ain't nothing else for us to talk about. But if you want to share with me what Joe is telling me, come with some sacrifice. Got to put a little work in, put some elbow grease in there. You know what I mean? Get dirty a little bit. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I don't see nothing wrong with
that. And it has to be people of the same color, same background, which will become more influential. There should be more black millionaires coming out and telling people in their neighborhoods, you've got it bad. You got gangs down the street on the left, gangs down the street on the right. But I had the gangs, too, and I made it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it, too, but you got to sacrifice. And I think that, to me, that would be the important lesson, is to let people know, you may not make it the first time around, second time around, third time around. And there are people who are not going to like you because of the color of your skin. They're not going to like you because you're too tall, too fat, too short, too muscular, too handsome, too feminine, not feminine enough. But, you know, if you want to make it, you're going to have to, you're going to have to run through the gauntlet of a lot of people not liking you. And, you know, instead of making it easy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a form of enduring hardship. You know, as a good soldier, you get bruised. You know, you get bruised, but still you have to deal with the form of evil exists as well as good. And once you know that the playing field, let's just say it's all good for today. It started out all good, everything equal share. But all of a sudden, here come evil with the intent of doing something to cause you not to have the peace, the freedom, the joy, the love, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you see a great harmony when you walk in togetherness. When the world is at peace, could you imagine the power of love that can be extended to one who have basically been unable to share the heart of compassion because they don't know compassion. They have been taught evil. So if you don't treat them evil, now that's not saying a particular color. I'm just using that for example, but let's be honest with you. That has happened to a particular color. You know, and that brings a person down right from the start. How can a person get back to the point of saying, I know today it's going to be equal share. Everybody's going to walk in peace. But that's not happening. So what do you do? You know, how do you go to the table and say, hey, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do about it. Let's give it a try just for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let's just put it out there for today. Make a joyful noise today. How do you think that would be just for one day? The gangbangers and everybody walking in love, you know? We're going to go back and do it all over again tomorrow, but right now we're getting ready to walk in love today. I can't imagine.
Can I say this? Gentlemen, you said something.
Go ahead.
And this is something that a lot of cats in the street don't understand. Back in about 1950, 1960, there was a group called the LSD, Lord, Saints and Disciples. They were three different gangs that decided they were sick and tired of shooting, killing one another in Chicago, and they were going to organize themselves in a more political way to provide for one another economically and look out for one another. And that scared the federal government, so much so that the FBI and the CIA infiltrated these groups with people to break it up, because these people were moving towards now not self-destruction, but unity.
Self-sufficiency, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And they were gangs. These were gangs started out.
That's what I'm talking about.
And what most people today don't understand is there are examples, though, of people looking at their situation, not liking it, and saying to themselves, I'm going to do something for myself. I don't like it, so I'm going to do something about it. And it may come with sacrifice. But I'm going to do something. And guess what? By 1974, 75, most of the leaders were locked up because they had cases put on them. And most of the time, they were false cases. But they had to get them off the streets because they would become dangerous because they were self-determined. And they stopped beating up one another, shooting, killing one another. And for a long time, you know, there was no leadership on the street. And the young cats turned to drugs and selling drugs and things of that nature in the mid-70s and 80s and what have you, and it caused a whole other spiral of destruction. But the point is, going back to what makes you free in America, it's your thoughts, it's your mindset, it's your drive for self-determination. And I'm going to add to what my brother Joe is saying, it comes with some sacrifice. If you ain't ready to put a little sweat in, don't get on the porch. The rest of it, you know what I'm saying? The big dog running in the street, stay on the porch if you can't run with it.
Yeah. All right. And you're probably talking about Elvis Cleaver and the Black Panthers, and yeah, the federal government came down. No,
them two in California, but I'm talking about in Chicago. You had
in
Larry
Chicago.
Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
You had Larry Hoover, right?
Uh-huh.
And you had a brother named Jeff Ford, right? These were guys that were known gang members who came together, and they were known as Brothers of the Struggle. They all got locked up, and they sent word back to the street, y'all stop killing, stop shooting one another, and start unifying. In fact, the vice lords were known as the conservative vice lords. They had businesses on the west side, man, restaurants, bookstores. Believe it or not. And they find out that look at things.
You know what? But, that's the kind of story that should be told, not only in books, but on TV and in movies so that people can be inspired.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And that's the thing that I'm saying. But evil won't let it be shown. Why you show everything else, but you don't show something that would bring forth substance that may grab a hold to someone's mind? I appreciate you saying that, too, because that is educational information that would say, oh, okay, it can be done. There is hope. Well, let us stop doing this to one another, because you mentioned earlier that they have put drugs out there, right? Okay, what do drugs do? They drag you into a lifestyle and take over your mind. And that means you don't even care about yourself. How can you care about someone else? And it's because you're being controlled by the drug. And I say that because of, you know, firsthand experience with that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, the drug does.
One second there, Joe. Let me just say this. There's a book that was entitled We Charge Genocide. Ossie Davis did the preface to the book. And it was based off the Warner Report, where they identified how the FBI literally started flooding black communities with drugs that they couldn't otherwise afford. And the goal was to break up that mindset of independence and economic interest of progress. Well documented.
Oh, I believe it. Yes. What was the name of the book again?
We Charge Genocide.
We charge Dennis genocide, okay?
Genocide, that's correct.
Yeah.
And what they showed is how when brothers like Eldridge Cleveland, California, and these brothers in Chicago and certain other cities, Fred Hampton, when they put out there this thought, this move towards self-sufficient economic independence, social programs, taking care of one another, feeding folks, educating them and what have you, then all of a sudden you start getting drugs you couldn't afford on a regular basis, on demand. And all of a sudden, as Pastor said, you start destroying one another, killing mothers.
Yeah.
Holding that stuff. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the drugs take advantage of a person's despair. And the CIA has been responsible through Free America to do it, to dispense the drugs to the black community and the suburbs as well. So, yeah, I mean, you would call me a conspiracy theorist. There are the powers that be that want to bring down, you know, America. And one of the ways of doing it is to take advantage of people's socioeconomic plight. So, yeah, but with the Internet, even if a person, let's say, wants to get a record deal or a TV deal or a movie deal, they can still get on YouTube. Do you know that they have people can produce what's called the short, a very short video, maybe a minute, minute and a half long, and it will get millions and millions of views if it's interesting. If it's interesting, then you can put ads up, make some money, and then invest the money into expanding your business, et cetera. But it does. But it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. And it doesn't take just a little bit of sacrifice. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of sweat. And, you know, it means your mother and your father are going to be against you. Your parent, your relatives are going to be against you. But, yeah, you're right. You have to have that mindset. But where does that mindset come from? If you've lived in nothing but poverty, lived in nothing but people putting you down, you need somebody to come along who's credible and to tell you and to show you, not just to tell you. There's a saying in marketing, don't tell me, show me. People have to come along, and they have to show the person, this can be yours if you are willing to put in the years of sacrifice. And then there's another problem, because as the other gentleman was saying about, even if you get to where you want to go, I'm going to use what you were talking about, you still have, okay, I'm here, now what do I do? Okay? I thought I was going to have a great life, but what do I got? There's also that particular syndrome, is that all there is? People have to be prepared for both failure and success, and they have to realize, yeah, we can come together in love, but when you're full of trauma that you're not even aware of, that trauma is going to be self-sabotaging.
Sure can. It can be, certainly. Certainly, absolutely.
Very well said.
Look, we went beyond. Let me give you all, Joe, let me give you a chance to final thought before we leave here. We do this on Tuesday nights, Joe. We've been doing it 7 years now. And this cat you listen to been on here with me all this time. But I welcome you to come back anytime if you feel like it. 7 o'clock from 7 to 8 o'clock, typically. We do this central time. So feel free to join us anytime. It's called Talk Street.
Oh, well, thanks.
I'm Reuben Dockery, and it's Pastor Ricky Waller. I love chopping up conversation like this with good brethren. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is with brothers as well. And I didn't come to preach, Joe, but I'm leaving. Let me share the focus.
Well, I know you're a preacher because I saw it there, Reverend Dock. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to a show in an hour, which always has a preacher there, because we talk about politics and relationships and other, and other topics.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Let me give you a final thought, and we'll turn it over to Pastor to wrap us up for the night there. Oh, look like we got another call.
I would just, say you can achieve what you want, but the path is going to be strewn with a lot of thorns, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. It ain't easy.
Yeah. Okay. But it's hope. It's possible, though. It's possible to get where you want to go. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you
as long as the people, if they believe, and they have to have a reason to believe, they just, somebody like me or you or somebody else just can't come along and say, yeah, it can be done. Go do it.
Can do everything, Sir Joseph.
Hey, Ed.
Look like this is 8:43, 48:53. Ed just joined us. And my friend, we're about to wrap up, but I want to give you an opportunity right quickly to chime in, and let me invite you to come back with us 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time next week. We appreciate you calling. Let me give you a call before. Go ahead, my friend. Go ahead.
No, I'm complete. I got a call coming in. I'll be on next Tuesday early. Thank you. Good to hear your voice, Joe. God bless all.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later, Ed.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe, we appreciate you, my friend. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Waller to give us a final thought for the night. And we look forward to seeing y'all next week at 7 o'clock p.m. For another episode of Talk Street.
Well,
all right.
Sure.
Hey, Joe. We want to thank you, man.
Uh-huh.
I just want to make sure that you know that we really appreciate you chiming in, and your friend who actually was looking you up, man, who's following you. So that's a powerful statement, to bring
well,
the joy that it brought once you heard his voice. And he even endeavored to say that he would come back on next Tuesday. So that's a beautiful thing. You know, it's much needed, and when you're having a great conversation like this, and you've been humble with it, it brings forth a lot of joy. You just don't want to end it right there, but the time begins to wind down, and you can take what was put on the table and say, look, man, that there is hope, man. People do understand the power of togetherness and how wonderful it would be for one day just to present it to one that you're close to, that you're around, and people that you may not even know, to bring that camaraderie, that humble approach for just a day. Could you imagine the power of being able to say that you know that Pastor Dockery is a preacher? That's what you said. And then to utilize how good and how pleasant it is to brothers to dwell together in unity, right? Now, let's just say we're going to go, when we leave this place on this night, we're going to go tell somebody there's a lot of unity going on Tuesday night from 7 o'clock until 8. And we may have to go a little over if Joe comes back with his friends. So, again, man, we want to thank you because the words say whether there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, he said that he would be in the midst of us. So we can have a great conversation and still end it on good notes, man. So, again, I just want to thank you for chiming in. And, Pastor Dockery, I yield back to you on that note with the power of togetherness, man. I enjoyed it.
All right. Talk straight. our topic was, what makes you free in America? You make you free, and it's up to you. We learned tonight from some good brothers that you got to put some, it don't come easy, though. Don't come easy. Come with sacrifice.
That's right.
We're going, like we started with the OJs, how would you feel to live if I can get my computer to work right? There we go. And we'll see y'all next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Doctrine, on behalf of our co-host, Pastor Waller. We'll see you then.
Yeah.